sisters in Christ Jesus, in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, He indeed is Lord, Lord over all, Lord through all. He is the Word that was made flesh. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is light. He is the gate to activating that DNA within you, that spirit of truth. And yeah, I greet you in that name that changes everything. The way to the Father has been made in Christ Jesus, and He is that gate, and we boldly come before the throne of grace. We boldly come into and become what it is that God destined for us to be in this life. And you know, it's always, I love it whenever God gives me the opportunity to share with you guys out there. And you know, but here's the thing, for those of you that have been tracking with us for a while, you know that, you know, sometimes we'll put up a message every day, every other day, and then there's times where God just says, all right, not now, not for a while. And you know, if we don't have something to say, we don't say anything, because we do what we do as the Spirit moves us and as the Spirit leads us and as God has us to do something, because all these gifts that are at work should be in operation as the Spirit wills them, not under the schedule of men. And so often people want to categorize, want to be able to control and manipulate and use, and you're not going to do that with the things of God. The way it works with God is you flow with Him. You know, just as Nicodemus was instructed about those that are led by the Spirit, when Jesus was talking with him, and you know, they had that conversation in John chapter 3, where Jesus told him that those that are led by the Spirit, you know, that they're the ones that, well, here, actually, let's just go there. John chapter 3, verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Amen. Praise God. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That means every person that is born of the Spirit of God is like that. Every person that is born of the Spirit of God flows with the Spirit of God. Every person that is born of the Spirit of God goes where He leads them, follows in a moment the leading of the voice of the Spirit, follows in a moment wherever He goes, they follow. That's how we live. And Nicodemus, now incidentally, Nicodemus came to him at night. I always crack up anytime I see these kind of things, because that's been my experience. You know, there's a lot of pastors and spiritual leaders and teachers from around the world that incidentally try to touch base with us in what's the equivalent of at night, or in a coffee shop, or in a place where their congregations won't see, or in some place, because here's the thing, they know that what's going on with us is of God. Even as Nicodemus knew that what was going on with Jesus was of God. Because no man can do the miracles which thou doest except God be with him. No man can live the way that we live unless God is with him. No man can have as much fun as we have unless God's with them. No. So people know that there's something going on with Jesus. People know there's something going on with us. And these religious leaders know, but at the same time, that which is going on with Jesus conflicts with the structure that they have set for themselves, conflicts with the tradition that they've held on to for so long, for 25 years, 35 years, their entire lifetime, that which they've been indoctrinated into. And so one set just wants to kill Jesus because they don't want to deal with it, and it collapses their power, it collapses their control over people. But then there is a set that's in there that comes at night, which still something in them buried deep within wants truth. But they can't do it overtly in front of the people, because if they do it overtly, then they're afraid of what people will say or what people will think, or the fact that they might lose control, or they don't want to do it like that. So it's always quiet. It's always in the back channels. It's always away from the eyes of other people is how they want to meet up with you and talk to you. And even with that, you see how Nicodemus is wrestling with this, because he's stuck in an old broken paradigm. He's stuck in a way of thinking that is that is what is crippling him from receiving what God is doing at that time with Jesus. That is crippling him from moving with the Spirit of God. That is crippling him from being able to move forward. And so even, you know, in verse 9, where Nicodemus answered, said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him and said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak of that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you of earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Now, here's the thing. I ask that question sometimes too. And some of the most basic, fundamental things of the faith, when people come up to me and ask, Govinda, how about this or how about that? And I say, wait, aren't you supposed to be the pastor? Aren't you supposed to be the teacher? Aren't you supposed to be the one that has, that is taking care of these flocks, and you don't get the simplest thing? You don't understand the simplest, level of truth? The foundations of things that are in Scripture, you don't understand. Because you've piecemealed it off and you've bought into a religious system that is never what God intended. And you've perpetuated that rather than truth. And it has blinded you and handicapped you from being able to move forward. And so you are lame and crippled, and your congregation is lame and crippled, and you're all stuck getting together once a week, propping each other up, hoping that you'll just make it one more week, Just come on, you can do it, brother. There's no freedom. There's no truth. And so you don't get it. Anyways, verse 11. I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. See, listen, here's the thing. When we speak here, when we testify, whenever God gives us something, this is what we've seen, what we've received, what we witness of what we know and testify of what we've seen. See, now here's part of the life that God has allowed and blessed me to live is to have some incredible, incredible life experiences at a very young age, actually, and a lot of them. And now I understand more and more why God did that with me. But so I testify of what I've seen. I testify of the things which God has revealed unto me. And people don't receive many times that witness. The irony, though, about the age that we live in right now is that it doesn't matter if they don't receive that witness. Because there are those out there that have a heart for truth. There are those out there that this message does resonate with. And by the way, the gatekeepers can't stand in the way anymore. They can't control it anymore. Because if people want the truth, they're going to find it. If they're asking for truth, they receive it. If they're seeking for it, they receive it. They find it. If you ask, if you seek, if you knock, they knock on that door, and the door is open. God is opening the door to them, despite their best efforts to block them. You know, here's the thing. You know what the curse of the law was? This is something that I learned from, God bless him, a good pastor back in the day. The curse of the law was ultimately this. You needed a man to get to God. That was the curse of the law. The curse of the law, that's a summary of it, is under the old covenant, the old way that things were done, you needed a man to get to God. So there was all the things with the temple worship and everything else, that there was a block. There was you had to go through this person, the high priest. He would then go and offer sacrifices for himself and for the entire congregation every year. And if God wasn't happy with the setup there, that guy would sometimes die, and they'd have little bells tied around his garments at the periphery. And so if they stopped moving, because nobody could go in and get him, they had to drag him out by his ankle, because he had a rope on his ankle in case he died in there. And, I mean, it was not the best setup for people, as far as them having a personal walk and a personal relationship. The curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. Now, what happened in Christ Jesus was the door was open. When Jesus was on the cross, the door, the gate was now opened up in and through him for us to have direct access and connection to the Father through Christ Jesus. Because what was done away with in him is he absorbed even into himself the things that kept us from him. He now, in that life, in him making that sacrifice and that substitution for us, and us receiving that and coming under the dominion of the King in and through Christ, what that did for us is that that allowed us now to no longer have to be separate from the Father. But see, the thing about that is that in a worldly sense, that was now bad for business. Because in a worldly sense, that now kept, there was a lot of people that depended on that business of religion to keep going. So what they did was they came and they stood up there and they stitched up the veil, because when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," the veil rent from top to bottom and was split, and the Holy of Holies was revealed, a natural representation of a spiritual reality of what had taken place. And what man has done and since that time is man went, took a needle and thread and stitched that thing up as best they could and stood there in the front and said, "No, no, no, you still need me. You still need me to get to God. You still need me for a word. You still need me to interpret. You still need me to do this. You still need me to do that." And that is flies right in the face of the work, the finished work of Christ Jesus. The finished work of Christ Jesus is that now his Spirit lives in you. Right now the Spirit of truth lives in you. You need that no man teach you, but the Spirit of truth will teach you when he comes upon you. That's what you need. And if you ask, you seek, you knock, you're going to receive, you're going to find, and it's going to be open. But when it comes to the world of control and manipulation and the desire to control and the desire to manipulate, that's bad for business in the traditional world of the church, for sure. And all religious practices, in fact. Now, speaking of that, it's so funny because you know, I know there's a lot of people that have issues with us for what we do and for the fact that we put the truth out like this. But if you knew how many of your congregation go to your places to hang out with people for community, but they come here for the word. Anyways, you'd probably step down from what you're doing right now. But anyways, I'll leave that alone. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe you just keep going. Whatever. All right, never mind. It's just funny. But speaking of which, speaking of structures, speaking of certain things, here's something, all right? Listen. Okay. When you take the word of, when you take the Bible, you've got to take the Bible in its entirety. You've got to take the whole thing. There's a whole lot going on in the scriptures at any given time. All right? There's a lot of things that are happening and taking place. And I had one very beautiful, I've had so many blessings from God in my life, but one thing that I'm very appreciative now at this stage in my life is that I had the chance to grow up cross-culturally. Because my dad is from the States and my mom is from Sri Lanka, because I grew up cross-culturally, I grew up between two worlds, literally. You know, my parents, they travel back and forth and we would go with them. And so because of that, I had the chance to grow up around one, you know, way of doing things, one way of thinking and everything. And then all of a sudden it would completely switch because I would switch countries and I'd be in another place. And all of a sudden the way that people related was very different. So you go from a low context to a high context society. You go from, you know, a place with a lot of space to some place where things are very close together. You go from, I grew up around that, and that is, there's a kind of an interesting thing that I learned and was even taught sometimes, even overtly along the way. But see, here's the thing: whatever background you come from, wherever you grew up, however you grew up, whatever background you have, that's the one that you think is right. So whatever culture that you have, whatever country that you grew up in, whatever that is, however that is, that's what you think is right. That's the way that you think things should be done. That's the way that you believe, because you've grown up around a certain society, a certain set of people, a certain value structure, all of those things. And those have been indoctrinated, and you've been indoctrinated into those when you, as you grow up. And part of our growth process is allowing the Spirit of God to lead us through and showing us, you know, what is things that should be worked with, and what are things that you know, you should just let go because they're really just things that are not helpful or useful or beneficial, or, you know, part of life, really, but the thing that I had, which was really unique growing up, was, you know, I would go from one set of doing things and one set and one way of thinking and understanding to a completely different cross-cultural experience, and then I would switch again and would go and it would change and I would be around all these different things. And as a kid, that was a lot of jumbling, but as I got older, you know, it helped me see things in a different way, in a little bit of a different light. Now, here's the thing. When, bless his heart, when Paul, who was made Saul, Saul, who was made Paul, when Saul had a revelation of who Christ Jesus is on the Damascus Road, and light, he literally had an encounter with light and truth and revelation. And any time that somebody has a true encounter with light and truth and Christ Jesus, things change. And when he went through that, first of all, it took 3 years because his brain got fried, because he realized that all that he believed and thought and understood from before, that he was off, that the very God that he thought he was serving, he was actually attacking. The very God that he thought that he was doing service unto, he was completely on the wrong page. And it took 3 years for his wiring to get for him to come to grips with that. But then as Paul began his mission, as he began his ministry, you know, what happened was he had a particular background. He had a particular structural understanding. He had a particular way of doing things. And all of that was what went into the formulation of his ministry. So as he went into formulating his ministry, as he went around and essentially seeking to, part of what he was doing was seeking to set structure to the early church based on his background and his experience. Did Paul do everything right? No. Paul did not do everything right. What's recorded in the scripture, just like David didn't do everything right, just like Solomon didn't do everything right, just like Moses didn't do everything right, just like all the people that are in the scriptures, the only one that did everything right in his time in perfect step with the Father was Christ Jesus. Everybody else did not. But it's all recorded there because, hey, this is life. And in life, people, it goes all over the place. It's a huge tapestry. A lot of different things happen and come up. So, so in that process, did Paul, bless his heart, was, you know, attempting to, now he had a heart, he was attempting to go forward with that which he knew, the background that he had, the cultural experience that he knew, all of those things. Paul had a heart for the Jews. But God had called him to the Gentiles. And whenever Paul tried to go and work with the Jews, they got ticked off at him and nothing would happen and he would end up in jail. Whereas when Peter would go to the Jews, things would happen. But so when Paul, you know, attempted to try even in his ministry and you know, when you look through the stories even in the book of Acts, when Paul would try to go into those particular places, you know, the closest that he would get to somebody even having a revelation of who Christ was like Agrippa saying, I'm almost convinced, you know. And so it's like Paul had certain desires, certain intentions, and certain things that were there. But there's also the background that he had come from, the structure that he had come from, and a lot of other things. Now, I want to make note of that because here's the thing. I know so often whenever I've had a chance to stop by what is a traditional church, traditional modern day church, and I've asked some of these pastors of very large churches this, do you believe that the modern day church is a reflection of truth? Do you believe? And they get very scared when I ask them questions like that. Because they know the answer, and I know the answer too. But I like to ask the question because I want things to come up to the surface. Now, here's the thing. When Paul began to set certain things up, he did it with the background, the knowledge, the understanding that he had. And, you know, in that process too, see, the epistles, the letters that he wrote, by and large, I believe there's 13 letters, but the ones that, the bulk of them that he wrote were written from prison. And when they were written, he wrote them a lot of times to try to fix problems and issues and things that were coming up in the places that he had set things up. So things were misfiring, were malfunctioning, were going all over the place. And he is frantically writing, you know, from jail to try to fix things that were going on in these places. So, you know, and these are location-based letters, a lot of them too. So when he's writing, you know, to the Romans, they're in Rome. When he's writing to the Corinthians, they're in Corinth. When he's writing to the Galatians, so like that, he's writing to people that are in different locations. Now, as this progression goes on in his ministry, here's the thing. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. All right, Acts chapter 20, and let's go to verse 22. Acts 20, verse 22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that in my space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. Okay. I have showed you all things how so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. All right, so there's a lot in there, but part of this one that I wanted to touch on too. Paul, I keep saying bless his heart, because I know he had a passion, and I know that he tried. And I know that part of his entire journey was what God was doing with him. And a lot of it is recorded, in the letters and in the epistles. But also that, too, understand that Paul realized when he got further along and towards the end of his ministry. So here's a set of people that he knew that as soon as he, after all the work that he'd done, after all the setup that he had done, after all of those different things, the thing that he knew and he understood is that he knew in verse 29 that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, and not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So he knew that this was going to take place in the structure that had been set up. Right? Okay, keep that in mind. Now flip forward. Because are we talking, now we're talking a little bit in progression. Now, as spiritual beings, as eternal beings, we are in I Am. So we are ever present right now as eternal beings. That being said, for the sake of discussion, we are going and we're discussing things from how they took place in time. Jude chapter 1. Jude, verse 1, sorry. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. The book of Jude's right before Revelation. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, through though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believe not. Okay. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved to everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Okay, so verse 1 through 6, but particularly verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares which were before of old ordained to this condemnation. And so, first, you've got Paul in Acts 20, verse 29, saying, I know this is going to happen after I go. See, there was a lot of things that were contingent on Paul as an individual and his personality and his operation in that, in trying to keep things together. But the structure itself, he knew was flawed when he got towards the end of his ministry. I want you to understand this. He went through a lot of different things, and then he had tried to set up a structure and establish something based on what his learning and his background and his understanding was. And as he went forward in that, towards the end of his ministry, he himself says, "All right, look, I know that the structure that's been set up, that once I'm gone, people are going to use that structure, and it is going to, there are going to be people that infiltrate in and through that. And there are savage wolves that are going to come in, and they're going to do some horrible things." And he warned them. And then, in the book of Jude, go forward a little bit more in time, there he says, there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before ordained for this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only God and our Lord Jesus Christ. How do they deny Jesus? Well, part of the way they deny him is they deny his finished work. Part of the way they deny him is they stand between, they try to stitch that veil up like we talked about, and they say, you still need me to get to God. You still need me for a prophetic word. You still need me for your healing. You still need me to get to God, to tell you what God is saying today. No. You can't trust the way that the Spirit of God speaks to you. You can't trust the way that God would lead you. No, you need my approval, and I'm watching your life, and I'm going to tell you when you're on and when you're off. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound familiar? Hello. Listen, the structure itself failed. Now here's the thing. Now let's switch gears for a second, and let's approach this with a scientific mindset. And true science, by the way, true science is a pursuit of truth. So true science is a pursuit of answers and a pursuit of truth. Now, there's an adulterated science out there. There's an adulterated and a perverted science, which is a manipulation of things. But true science is a pursuit of truth and answers. Now, if you are doing something utilizing a scientific method, when you go down a particular path and you replicate a particular experiment, you should get the same result. When you go down a particular path and you replicate a similar set of circumstances, approaches, everything else, you should get the same result. So if you combine certain chemicals, you should get a certain chemical reaction. If you apply a certain method, then you should get a certain response. So a lot of things with the scientific method require that once you do something, that you can get a repeatable answer, repeatable response. So, under observation, you can test things. Now, utilizing the scientific method, since the people that listen in here, you still have your brains intact, you've not been completely brainwashed, and you've not shut yourself off, and you've not existed completely split, which is what organized religion seeks to do to you. It tells you believe this when any logical or reasoning or thinking person cannot completely shut off their mind, or they go through cognitive dissonance and they actually become an insane person. But with the application of a scientific method, if you apply the same approach and the same principles, will you not in turn get the same result? Yes or no? Yes, you will get the same result. Right. Okay, good. We understand that. All of science and truth backs that up. So, if you apply the same principles, if you try to build the same structure, will you not end up in the same place? I.e. Acts 20 verse 29 and Jude verse 4. Certain men creeping in as unawares that are savage wolves that will scatter the flock, that will do all these horrible things. Why is it a surprise to anybody. Why is it a surprise to anybody? Listen, when Jesus... Why is it a surprise to anybody that religion has failed? Why is it a surprise that this has become what it is? And why is it a surprise that every time that people try to go through and replicate that same pattern over and over and over again, they end up in failure? And you know how I know they end up in failure? Because they watch me. And they keep asking questions of me. Because they know that my life has not gone down the path of failure, that my life is following Christ, and that my life is actually living in the destiny that God intended for me to live in. And they're like, well, what we're doing is not working. And you know how they ask me? Is they ask me, under, and they try to judge. And they try to bring me under that control. Because they, you know what? They can't have you out there following Christ Jesus for real, listening to the voice of the Spirit, doing whatever God has for you to do, and not under their thumb, and not requiring their approval or their say-so. They can't have that. It's too dangerous. It's bad for business. It's bad for business. They can't have that. They need you to need them. And in order for them to have that, they've got to get you to buy into the lie. They've got to get you to buy into the deception. They have to get you to go from one bondage into another. See, here's the thing. This is one place where I really get pissed off. Is because when people come, so often when they come to a religious establishment, you know, a lot of times what's happening is they've been so beat up by life. So they've been so beat up in their experience in the world. And so they come there because they want some relief. They come there because they just want some rest. They want peace. And instead of that, what they are given is they're given one bondage for another. Oh, sure, yeah, come on in, brother. You know, come on in, sister. And here's your new list of do's and don'ts. Here's the things that will make you okay. Here's the things that will allow you acceptance. Here's the things that will make sure that you're okay with us. And don't forget to pay your 10%. To further the kingdom, right? Oh, by the way, if we're talking about tithing for a second, right? And if these guys actually believed that that was a proper application of what they do. Well, all right, let's for a second, pardon my insanity as I talk for a minute on this one. Well, all right, let's go. Ephesians chapter 4. Where he talks about God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. And actually, chapter 4, verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, for the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Right? All right. Well, if they believed the scriptures, which obviously they don't, and if they are taken up that collection according to that whole plan and process. Well, all right, first, pastors are fourth. They're not first, and they're not last, and it's good that way, because they'd say, well, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first, if they're put fifth in the list, and if they're put first, then they would just use this as a... So they're deliberately put number four in the list, right there in, you know, not even right in the middle, but number four out of five. Is that a 20% split across the board whenever they take up a collection? So do they take up a collection and then go 20% to apostles, 20% to prophets, 20% to evangelists, 20% to pastoral mission, and 20% to the ministry of the teachers? Or are they like Judas, as scriptures talk about, who had control of the money bag and helped himself to whatever was put in there, and incidentally was the one who Satan himself jumped into and used to betray Christ Jesus, to ultimately betray the truth? Which sounds more realistic? Well, let's talk about percentages, shall we? You know that the typical church is run as a business? I know this because I used to work with some of them. I know this because I know the books. They run them as businesses, by and large. Now, I'm not saying every one of them is, but I'm saying a lot of them are. My friends, my brothers, my sisters, listen, we love you. We want you to walk in the freedom in which Christ Jesus has set you free. We want you to walk in relationship with the Spirit of God. Ask some questions. Ask questions. I love asking questions. Because, you know, so often what happens is when people want to, and I can tell. It's so easy. It's so obvious these days when people just try to come up because they get so mad. They get so frustrated because they're still waiting. They're still waiting for something horrible to happen to me, or to the people that are like me, or the people that are out there that have a voice. And God has just continued to bless us, continued to strengthen us, continued to just have us on this incredible adventure as we follow Him, just like Nicodemus was told in John chapter 3. Look, we go where the Spirit leads us, we do whatever God's got for us to do. All things, as Paul said, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. So, listen, in Christ Jesus, nothing's off limits. At the same time, not everything's going to be a benefit. So, what do? Well, you live your life free and you do what the Spirit of God leads you to do. And if you are in connection with the Spirit of God, He's going to lead you. If you're not, then you're not hearing from Him in the first place. So just check the connection. That's it. If you really want Him, you're going to have Him. If you don't want Him, you're not going to have Him in the first place. So, if you're being led by the Spirit of God, if you are off on something, He's going to tell you. And if you're not off, then don't worry about it. Enjoy your life and go on and carry on and realize you don't need these charlatans. You don't need these people that seek to bring you back under their thumb, to bring you back under bondage, to bring you back into a failed system that was already reported failed in the Scriptures, so you didn't even have to figure it out. It's failed. It failed 2,000 years ago. They kept trying to resurrect it over and over and over and over and over and again. They've kept repeating the same scientific experiment over and over and over again. And they keep coming up to the same result over and over and over again. You know, I saw a BBC article the other day where the Pope himself said that based on their own internal calculations that 4% of their priests are pedophiles. This is of what they know. So literally across the churches around the world that they have within the Catholicism, that's thousands of priests that if they can get their hands on your kids, that they will bugger them if they have the opportunity. Welcome to your Sunday. Something is wrong. There's a sickness there. There's no freedom there. You know, there's that, I'm trying to remember this one quote, but, you know, the definition of insanity is to do the same thing over and over again and to expect a different result. If you continue to do the same things, you're going to continue to get what you've always got. If you continue to do the same thing over and over again, you're going to get the same thing again. I would rather give you the words that Christ Jesus gave. Let the dead bury the dead. You carry on and follow him. You've got the Spirit of God with you. Trust that. If, you know, just pray between you and the Father, one-on-one. And incidentally, the Spirit of God is in you. The kingdom is within. In Luke 17, oh, they hate that one. That the Spirit of God that would live in you, that your body would be the temple of the Holy Spirit, and he'll live in you, and he will speak to you direct, and you don't need them? Oh, they hate that. But pray, and pray. Pray to the Father, who, incidentally, you've been made one with in the Spirit. And pray, and just say, Lord, lead me. Lord, guide me. Lord, direct me. Wherever you want me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Whatever it is, Lord God, have your way. And he will do the work. And just follow him and enjoy life now. That's the other thing too. It is in Christ Jesus, this moment you live. Live in him. Abide in him. He is I am. He is right now. And that is the thing, that freedom was always available. But people have chosen to live in bondage, so they miss it. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. You don't serve a religion. You serve Christ. You come under the dominion of the king, and not of a man, and not of a system, and not of a structure, and not of a label, but you walk with Christ for yourself. And that means wherever he wants you to go, you go. Whatever he wants you to do, you do. And enjoy life. It was meant to be enjoyed. God desired that you would experience the fullness of what life is. And he has taken us from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, and let no man or woman ever bring you back into bondage. And by the way, for those of you that try to write us, that would seek to try to do that, I mean, come on, please. Seriously? I mean, the only thing you reveal is that this is not resolved in yourself. And that's why, instead of going within and resolving this before Christ and admitting the fact that you've been off for 3 decades of your life, you try to, you externalize that, and you project that here, and that's not helping you. God wants you to be free. We want you to be free, honestly. We really do. Because, you know, you got one window of time while you're here in this life. You might as well follow Christ for real and enjoy it. And listen, set your congregations free. Don't enslave people. It sucks. It sucks for you and it sucks for them. It sucks for everybody. Yeah. And you know, listen, we live our lives very, very open. We know that there's people that listen in from all types of different communities, intelligence community too. It's kind of funny. They watch us, but we see them. Anyways, that's a whole nother story. But listen, brothers and sisters, we love you guys. And we just pray, God bless you. God keep you. God strengthen you. Walk with him. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. And live in the boldness of who you are in him. And enjoy life. For this is God's intention for you. All right, hey, we love you. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you. And you know what? Hey, share this message with people. You know, share this link with people. And people need this. They need to know this. So, you know, just ask them what they think. Let them listen. And with that, we love you guys. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Let's go to bakemix.com. Talk to you later. Bye.